What's up, party people? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am so stoked you're here. You guys have been an amazing audience, always calling, DMing, following, doing all that great stuff. So make sure that you like, share, subscribe. We got to make sure we do that so we can get all of these amazing guests that come onto the show out there even more, right? So I want to thank you for hanging out with us today because I have a really remarkable dude for us. His name is Ken Rusk, and he's a best-selling author, an entrepreneur, and a champion of the blue-collar spirit. Now, Ken's journey is unique. No college degree, just hard work and determination. I freaking love that. And after years of construction, he is now a highly successful entrepreneur and a multiple thriving businesses. And he truly gets his passion for mentoring and guiding countless youth individuals into goal setting, life visualization, career paths, financial planning. Like, his message is very, very clear, right? Anyone can achieve their dreams no matter their background. And you guys know that I go around this amazing planet finding these really phenomenal humans to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform our thinking. And Ken, I love that story about you because I think that's more and more happening today too, where college is maybe not the route so many people are taking. And back when I was growing up, that was a shame, right? You would feel terrible if you didn't have a college degree or were going to a college. And I didn't go to college until I was in my 30s. So I always felt like I was behind the eight ball, right? So I'm really glad you're here. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Nina. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad you're here too, man. So I always start the show off with something super fun because we like to know who you are. So that's the question really, Ken. Who are you? Who are you, Ken? Tell us.
Well, I've been accused of being a blue-collar entrepreneur, okay, whatever that is. As you said, I started several businesses and still work in most of them today, mostly in construction. Like you, I didn't go to college. In fact, I didn't go at all. When I was 15, my high school shared a fence with an industrial park, and we used to cut through a hole in that fence after school, walk through the industrial park to get to the carryout and just hang out there. And every time I did that, I always noticed these businesses were hustling and bustling, and they had great things that young kids would like, you know, equipment, construction equipment, and things like that. So at one point I thought I got to get serious about a more of a full-time job. So I went in and I knew somebody that worked at one of these companies, and I said, "What do you do here?" And they said, "Well, we basically dig ditches." And I said, "Okay, I'm qualified to do that." So
I love it.
You know, I needed to make money for taking my girlfriend out for pizza or buying my first used car, whatever it was. And so that's what I did. I started digging ditches in the summertime when school was out. And then when school was in, I would work in the office after school in the front office, kind of learning both sides of the house, as they say. And that proved to be pretty valuable because when I was 18, I had the choice. Am I going to college or am I not? And, you know, back then, only about a half of the class was going to college. That was pretty normal. Other people were just going into jobs or whatever right away, working in their family businesses or whatever. And I decided they came to me and said, "Look, we're trying to open up franchises. We're trying to open up branch offices of this company because we're growing so big. And you've done both sides of it. Do you want to give that a shot?" So, yeah, when I was 18 and a half, I packed a suitcase and went to Columbus and Chicago and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and opened up new branches from scratch. Did that till I was 22, maybe 23, and then moved to Northwest Ohio. Started my company with six people, and now we have nearly 200. So it's been a hell of a ride.
Oh my gosh. You started your own company at 22?
Yeah. I moved out here 22 and a half, started my own company just when I turned 23.
Wow. That is bold. It's really bold at 22. But you know what's really cool is that at 16 years old, you were not afraid of hard work. Like that's really impressive, right? I'm 51, right? And we were younger. You just did that. That's just what you did. You worked hard. It was a part of our DNAs, what you did. Was there entrepreneurship like in your family, or were you the first one to expand in that? What does that look like?
Well, my father was chopping lettuce at 16 and at a grocery store. And then pretty soon he moved up to be manager of the grocery store. And then eventually after that, he worked for a brokerage company, a food brokerage company, and then he ended up buying the owner out after a while. So, you know, the funny thing about the word entrepreneur is, you know, whenever people say you're lucky, you're one of those entrepreneur guys, I typically would say, well, here's a piece of paper and a crayon. I want you to draw entrepreneur for me.
Right.
And they get this blank look on their face because they can't really do it. I mean, entrepreneur is kind of like a description of something else, right?
Yeah.
So I've always believed that we all have the entrepreneurial characteristics, and that's what I write about in Blue Collar Cash. We, you know, we all have initiative and perseverance and persistence and resilience and, you know, initiative and faith and courage and vision and generosity and humility and all that stuff. All we need is a reason for those things to come out. Mm. So for me, it was a pretty simple process. When I was 12, I had a paper route. When I was 13, I worked at a bakery. When I was 14, I worked at a bowling alley. And it was just a give and take proposition. So I used to say, okay, so what you're saying is if I spend 4 hours doing this, you're going to give me X amount of money.
Right.
And then I could take that money and do whatever I wanted with it. So to me, it was just the total control that I had over work hard, receive money, will control your financial future, you know, reward yourself. Because, you know, back then we didn't have iPads and cell phones and all that stuff. Right. We built tree forts in the backyard and we played frisbee and tag and, you know, yard baseball and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I had four brothers and we lived in a very small house in a small town in Ohio. And my mom stayed home like most moms did. And my dad went to work to try to pay for all of us. And, you know, I mean, he could give us clothing and shelter and food and all that. But if we wanted something way beyond that, it was like, hey, you need to go find the money to get that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it became that kind of proposition for us growing up.
But how did your mind shift though from I'm working for somebody, let them pay me, right? An employee, right? As opposed to 22-year-old going out to build your business. So what was that then? Was that just, you know, was that innate? Was that just something that you said, you know what, I'm looking at all these guys opening branches all over the place and I can so easily do this? Like, was that the thought process? I'm just wondering, right? Because a lot of us have gotten stuck in the road of, oh, okay, I'm going to work my 4 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours, whatever, and you're going to pay me and I'm just going to keep doing this repeat. But you took a different route.
Yeah, that's a really great question, actually. And it's kind of a multifaceted answer. I would say the first thing is, you're right. When you open a business from scratch three or four times, you kind of learn what that looks like, you know, and you kind of learn to begin with the end in mind. Okay, this is what it's supposed to look like when it's up and running. Now I need to get from here to there. So that was the one thing. The other thing was, I had some pretty good examples. I mean, my father didn't have any money until he was, you know, until I was like 17 or 18 or 19 years old. And he started to spend it a little bit and have some fun. And that was cool to watch. And the guy that I worked for was a pretty flamboyant guy from the time I was 15. And I got to see how he lived. Mm-hmm, and they had great vision and great things that they wanted to do with their lives. So, you know, again, I think every one of us has the possibility to say, well, if I could draw a picture or build a puzzle or create a bunch of collage of magazine pictures of what I want my life to look like going forward 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, then there's a lot of ways to get there. And I think, you know, a funny thing happened along the way. So I had in my years of growing up, I remember working for a landscaper and I remember at one point he gave me two new guys and said, okay, you're the boss now. So go run these guys and do what you got to do to make this job happen. And then I would do side jobs and the side jobs were even cooler because I'm paying these guys $5 an hour, but I'm charging the homeowner $7.50 an hour for these two guys.
Right.
So I'm either on the job or at another job and I'm making money in both places.
Right.
And that was kind of like, wow, they're happy. I'm happy. The customer's happy. This is a pretty cool formula. So if I could just expand upon that to 200 people, what could I accomplish? Right.
Right.
And as long as everybody's happy in the process, I mean, it was great. And you know, and the good news is the American dream is not dead. And that process still works to this very day.
I mean, it's a good process. let's just be real. It's a good process, right? And you could expand that way too, especially if you, like you said, you have people working on one site and then you're going to the other site and you're still making money on both sites. And that's a really beautiful thing. And I love that you said, you know, there's magazines out there and TV shows and like, you can cut this out. You can put this out because, you know, I think people would immediately go to, oh yeah, but it was proximity, right? Ken, I mean, you were around these guys who were flamboyant and you saw your dad started to spend money. Like they can use that as an excuse to stay where they are.
Great
right?
point. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great and I point. Love that. Yeah. And that's where my mind was going. Cause I'm like, okay, it's not about proximity. I was going to say that the cutting out the magazine, but you beat me to it. Cause I was going to say, you know what? With all the technology, the phones, the TVs, the everything we have, there's no way you can't have vision if you don't want it. There's no way.
Well, right? And here's the thing about that. So thank you for saying that because that's exactly right. So when I teach this course that I've built about life visualization, when I teach it to kids, and when I say teach it, don't forget, I don't have any college. I don't have any training. I don't have any specialized training in life coaching. And I have no letters after my name. I mean, it's just me, right? But if you can get someone from the inner city to draw their favorite pickup truck in enormously cool detail, and then what their favorite house might look like and what their favorite pet might be, dog or a cat, what color, what would you name it? Their favorite vacation, their favorite charity moment, their favorite sport or hobby. If you can get someone to draw that out with, and we use crayons because the last time you held a crayon in your hand, you were probably five. You were probably at your most innocent and stressless point of your life, and yet your most creative time. So we get people putting crayons in their hands and making these drawings all the time because when you take that vision from your brain and put it down on paper, you've manifested it into something real. You've created a brochure for your own life. And anyone who's ever held a car brochure in their hand, they open up the pages and they go, wow, not only is the car cool, but here they're going to the beach with it. And here they're hauling lumber with it. And here they're, you know, driving down the beautiful boulevard with it, you know, with their friends. So it's not the thing. It's the memories that you get from those things. Yeah. So, yeah, anyone can do this. I mean, Elon Musk is a brilliant guy. The only reason that one of the reasons that makes him so brilliant is the fact that he accesses the visual side of his mind constantly. But guess what? That's free. It requires no training, and we can all do that. Right. I'm not saying he's not talented. He's an enormously talented human being. There's no question. And he's smart. But when it comes to visions and dreams and hopes and those kinds of things, we all have the ability to do that. Yeah. It doesn't require any training whatsoever. So get that side of your brain working and watch out. You won't believe what happens.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of self-awareness and introspection and really looking at yourself too, because the reason I say that is because there is such a thing as trauma, right? People do have trauma in their lives.
Sure.
And at some point, you can't keep being a victim of the trauma. You just can't. And I mean, that's at least, let me just speak for myself. That's my story, right? I had a lot of trauma in my life. And for a long time, there was no vision. It was just work and die. You know what I'm saying? Like work your tail off and then just die. And I was like, no, you know, I have so much more in me and so much more people that need to hear what I have to say. Like I can't keep doing that. So I started doing what you're talking about. I started to think about, but what if I wanted something? What would that look like? Well, and I used to say, I don't know. Well, if you did know, this is me talking to myself. If you did know, what would that be? I didn't even know I was coaching myself, you know, 20 something, 30 years ago, but I was. And, you know, it's amazing. And I love that you're doing that because one of the things that I love about what you just said too, is that you just like pretty much drew out your brochure, right? Now you've elevated that, Ken. I don't know if you realize that, but you elevated even the description of what they're doing, right? Because you could easily say, oh, it's just a picture, right? You just drew a picture, but you said brochure. That's a whole different thing.
Well, yeah. And I think what's important is, you know, I remember talking to Tony Robbins' son, Jerick Robbins. And one of the things that he said, which was shocking to me, which I loved because I had been searching for this information was, you know, a lot of times you say, well, what you focus on, you know, your brain attracts itself to, or, you know, what you focus on, what you see, you can do. If you can see it, you can achieve it. You hear all those things, but you wonder what the science is like behind that, right? Well, he explained it to me recently, which is something I thought was brilliant. And what he said was, the more you see something, okay, like I know we're on video, but here, this little car, okay, let's assume that's a goal of yours. The more you see something, the more that gets these little electrodes in your brain working faster and faster and faster, and also closer and closer and closer, to the point where it becomes one conscious stream of thought. And when that happens, your brain kind of acts and assumes as though it already owns that thing. And once that happens,
I love that.
Once that happens, it kicks your body into these involuntary moves to go get that thing. So you're actually training your brain to work for you in a way that is so powerful. I mean, think about it. We all know how to anticipate a vacation, right? We all know how to plan for it. Restaurants, hotels, the beach, my suntan lotion, copper tone number 8, how it smells, you know, the umbrella, the drink, the music, the sand, the sea, the air, the breeze. We can feel all that and we anticipate it all winter long for spring break, right?
Right.
Well, if we can anticipate that and we're so good at it, why can't we anticipate all aspects in our life in the same exact way?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
They could be 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 years, 16 months, 4 or 5, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you can anticipate it in that same way, you're allowing the power of your brain to move your body in ways that it goes and gets those things.
Right.
And why wouldn't you want your body working for you in that fashion rather than downloading the trauma and keeping that in your hard drive, bouncing around down in there when you could say, you know what? I'm going to clean the hard drive out. I'm going to start from fresh. I'm going to delete all that stuff. I'm going to download this cool stuff of what I want my life to look like. And then I'm going to allow my brain to work on that rather than the other.
Right. And then I was just going to point that out as well. Like, you know, I think that's why social media can be so dangerous too, right? Because it's always in your face and there's always so much going on. It's the same thing. And if you like something, the algorithm keeps giving you that thing. And that can go in the negative way as well, right? So that's how they stir up crowds and make people angry and have people fighting each other and all that kind of stuff too, because that's all you're looking at too. And so you're constantly there. You're constantly there. And I refuse to do that. I just refuse. It's like I've spoken to people that that's all they think about is the negative part of it. And then I'm like, well, you know what? How about we try something different? Because that's not, obviously it's not working for you. It's not serving you in any way, except that you are now so accustomed to the anger or the frustration or the depression or whatever that thing is that you are linked to that thought process. And I love what you're saying, because what you're saying is we don't have to stay where we are. We literally can renew the program and the mind and shift and be completely different from yesterday to today, right?
Yeah, you know, I was talking yesterday morning to a group of female prisoners, and they were on their way transitioning out of prison and back into the the regular life. And one of the things that I said was, you know, you have to understand that if you listed all the emotions that you have going on in your head, and I talk about this in the 5th gallon bucket of blue collar cash in the chapter, I think it's 5, but anyway. One of the things you have to understand is that if you have frustration, fear, and anger, there is no room to call in joy and anticipation and admiration and curiosity. If you have those emotions, they can't both exist in the same head at the same time. So the clearing house is a very mechanical thing. You literally have to list all the negative emotions that you experience and all the positive ones that you know are out there, you know, happiness and joy and again, curiosity and wonderment and admiration and, you know, all those kind of discovery, all those kinds of things. You need to list those both out and you need to say, okay, I'm going to replace this one with that one and this one with that one and this one with that one. And you can actually mechanically do this and your brain will react to it. I mean, if you decide that, you know, a past trauma is enough is enough, okay, then you're getting rid of that memory, whatever emotion it puts into you. You're deciding to get rid of that emotion. And we have to remember that emotions are a choice. even if somebody slaps you across the face and you get angry, that's still a split second choice.
Yeah.
So yeah. Harder to do than just getting rid of maybe, you know, jealousy, but right. You still have to recognize that you're making an actual choice. So first thing you have to do is clear your mind so that some of these spontaneous and creative thoughts can come flowing back in, like what I want my life to look like. And then recognize that you control your input, you control your output, you control the quality of that output, you control your day, your time, your schedule, your financial gain. All those things are within your purview if you allow it to happen. And that's why when I talk to people, I would say, look, you can't let society tell you who you are. You can't let your parents or your teachers or your guidance counselors or your friends or your enemies tell you who you are. I mean, ask all of them if they know your favorite color, your favorite food, your favorite car, your favorite pet. Ask them if they know that. They don't know that, but you do. So why are you relying and listening to everybody else to determine what your outcome is?
Right. What was the reaction, or did they give you a reaction or response in that group yesterday?
Well, I had some people crying, and I had some people hugging each other, and I had some people supporting each other.
That's
but
great.
I had a lot of people doing this, you know what I mean? Not nodding their head. And so many of them, again, the tears were flowing from the ones that were like, I'm trying to let go. I'm really trying to let go of these things. And having support, a couple of them said, I've been to two or three jails. This is the first jail that that anyone ever, like you, has ever come in front of me to try to help me out. And they had a whole support group of a bunch of other gals, and they all were, it was group hugs, and it was awesome.
And
they were making drawings of what they want their future to look like, and they had detail. And I have a lot of hope for them. I really do.
You should. That's really awesome, right? Because like she said, Nobody's done that with them, right? And sometimes that's all we need. And that's why these conversations are so important, Ken, because, you know, our podcast reaches a lot of ears. You just don't know who's is going to reach, you know? You don't know who's listening just so happens to bump into this episode. And that can be transformative for somebody's life, right? So tell me what happened with you. What was that light bulb moment for you when you said, wait, I can be helping people here. Let me write this book. You know, like, what was that? Because you were already in construction. You've been doing that for a long time. Was that just a servant's heart? What was that about?
Well, it was a couple things. Number one, my daughter, when she was 12, she came down with a very serious illness, and it was a life-threatening one. And, you know, it became a really scary 5 years for her mother and I. You know, and when you're sitting in waiting rooms and oncology offices and, you know, radiology offices and, you know, ultrasound rooms and all that kind of stuff, you have a lot of time to think, okay? So one of the things that I thought of was, okay, what should I be telling her is the goal in life? Like, in other words, what should I say is your goal? What should you be chasing? If you're going to chase something in life, meaning if you're really going to go after something, what should it be? And, you know, it's really easy for people to say, well, I want 15 cars, a mega yacht, a mansion, and I want to be a rap star or influencer or whatever, right? But I thought there's this sweet spot that everybody has. It's their own personal nirvana, right? It's what I call comfort, peace, and freedom. And they all have the ability to say, man, if I could live like that, here's my brochure. If I could live like this brochure that I created, that would be really cool, you know? And I'm happy to say that she's healthy today. In fact, she's going to have a little baby girl here next month. That was a long time ago. But so that's what kind of started this whole process. And I got to tell you, Nina, these three words, comfort, peace, and freedom, they would not leave my brain. I was seeing them everywhere. I mean, it's almost like if you flipped over a box, those words would be sitting there.
Wow.
And so that started it. But then the fact that I had coached, I mean, involuntarily coached all these people for 30 some years in my office. I mean, I've interviewed 2,500 people in my lifetime.
Right.
So
wow.
If you think about, you know, having a staff of 200 and helping them live their lives, because my motto is I can't get what I want, nor can my company get what it wants or needs until all of you get what you want first. And it's true. So I started building these processes for coaching and developing culture around the business and, you know, staying power and loyalty and entrepreneurship and rewards and all that kind of stuff. And I had some stuff that was really working in a cool way. And actually my wife said to me, you know, you should really get this message out before the four, beyond the four walls of your building there. So I started writing down stories and thoughts and stories of friends of mine that were entrepreneurs that came from horrible circumstances to win in life, and Nicole's story and everything else and how inspiring she is. And it's just, you know, 80,000 words later and one very sore wrist. I wrote it all out with pens.
Wow.
It just, that's where it went. And it became a bestseller last fall, and I'm wholly blessed, eternally grateful. I didn't think the book would go 10 feet, much less the 10 miles it's gone.
Right. Oh man, that's so beautiful. And to, I'm picturing you like handwriting it. I think that's powerful.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
It's powerful, right? Because when you're writing it yourself with your own hand to paper, there's something different to that than actually writing it on a computer. That's why when I journal with my hand as well, instead of typing into my computer what my journal is.
It's a great point because I found that I couldn't write with a keyboard. I literally couldn't do it. I couldn't get the thoughts to roll. And if I did, I'd type three words and have to erase two of them because I'm not a good typer. So I remember being on an airplane and I have 12 legal pads, right? Full.
Wow.
And I'm writing on this legal pad and the guy next to me says, "What are you doing?" And I says, "Well, I think I'm writing a book." And he goes, "Okay, but like you're writing it, you know? I mean, we have
these."
And I said, "I know, but you know, that's just the way I roll." So thank God my daughter took all my scratchings and just literally I would say them to her and she would just type them out and there we were.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, congratulations on your grandbaby coming. That's awesome.
About that.
That's awesome. It's your first baby girl or your first granddaughter?
It is. It's the first one. And I'm thrilled with everything except the name Grandpa, because I don't feel like I'm a grandpa yet. So I think we're going to go with Pops. So we're going to see how that works.
So cute. And let me tell you something, Ken, it's not going to matter. Because if the grandbaby looks at you and says, "Grandpa," you're going to melt. That's not even going to matter.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Right there. Everybody says it. I'm sure that's true.
The cool thing is that your baby's having a baby and, you know, through that hardship and that hard time is when this inspiration came out to bless so many people. And I feel like, you know, when we go through those hard times in our life, right? I don't know if you are a believer in God or not. I believe
Absolutely.
In God.
Yeah.
I just feel like there is these moments that God is holding us through, you know, these tough times. And then we take that and we impact someone else. And all of that to then yesterday impacting women in a prison.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? Like that could have been something different, Ken. You could have been still working in construction somewhere had that not shifted your life.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, I grew up Catholic. I grew up being scared of the priests. You know what I mean?
Because
and the nuns, they're going to hit me with a wooden spoon and all that other kind of stuff.
I got plenty of that.
Yeah. But, I always kind of knew that, you know, there's somebody out there watching, and if you do the right thing, they'll know. And if you don't, they'll know. And, you know, it's interesting because I've had enormous success, and I don't want to say I'm lucky because I worked hard for it, but I was opportunistic. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was aware, and, I'm eternally grateful for that. And I've given back forever. I mean, I've given back to charities in my time, my talent, and my treasure. Not only me, but my staff. We've been doing that for 30 years. And I just totally believe in, you know, you never do charity because you're going to get something back. You know, I don't those auctions because you auction some, you know, you buy them, you donate the money, but then you get a trip to Cancun. That really, to me, doesn't really work. But yeah, it just seems like the more you give, the more somebody seems to bless you. And I can't put my finger on it, but it just kind of works out that way.
It just does. It's such a beautiful thing. So are you currently working? I know you have your book out and everything, and you still have your big company and everything. So are you working with people? Are you doing coaching, or what does your business look like right now on that other side?
Well, I still have 200 people here to coach, which is fun. I love it.
Yeah.
We do it every single day. And that's awesome. I also work with Junior Achievement. I work with Boys and Girls Clubs. I got into this women's prison. I don't know how it happened, but it's been a blast.
You were meant to be there.
Yeah. And there's a lot of other things. We're getting ready to do some stuff with military people that come out of service, because so many of them wait till they get out of the service to figure out what they want their life to look like. And I'm saying, let's talk about that while you're dodging bullets, not after you dodge bullets.
Yeah.
You
know what
I mean? Let's talk about that the whole way through, so that when you get out, you're not lost. Mm-hmm. And so I have a couple of colonels who are helping me work on a program to help, people that come out of service, and because they deserve everything. I mean, they deserve everything. They deserve everything we could give them. I mean, everything.
100%. I'm with you. My husband was in the military. My father, he passed away, but he was a vet. My uncle was a vet. I am big on military. I love it. You know, I was speaking to someone. I should probably connect you with him. He was on my show. He was in the service for over 20 plus years. And he's actually doing some of what you're talking about. So he's trying to help vets to transition into something better. Because, a lot of them come out and we forget that they've been in the service for 20 something years.
Sure.
And they sometimes forget what it is to pay a bill on their own or, have money or, go get a mortgage or any of that kind of stuff. So,
exactly.
I don't know if you're looking for people to connect with, but I think he'd be somebody amazing to connect
with. Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're getting ready to do some filming in New York in December, and, Fox News is going to help me a little bit with the promotion of it. And it's just been great. You know, I've been very lucky. I've been on Fox and Friends. I've been on Tucker Carlson. I've been on Dana Perino and other things. And it is incumbent upon anybody, whether you are successful or not, to turn around and say, how can I help the people behind me? How can I shorten their learning curve? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
We're made to learn, to do great things and to achieve great things and to gain whatever wealth we can in a safe and responsible and a moral and ethical way. That's true. But we're also designed to teach and to turn around and help and to say, hey, I did it this way. This might work for you. If it cuts 3 years of heartache out of your career,
let's
do it. And so it's been fun.
Yeah. I mean, it has been fun even just speaking to you. You are really such a great inspiration and I really love speaking with you. And I want people to understand all the takeaways because you've left so many on the table here for them, right? Like writing out their vision and knowing who they are and hard work has a lot to do with this too. Like putting in your work and having action, right? Being respectful of others, having morals, like all of this is all, I mean, and I'm sure when I rewatch this, I'm going to get a lot more because you've left so much on the table here. And so, before I let you go, which I don't really want to, before I let you go, Ken, because I know you have a life, so let me let you go. But how do people get your book or how can they connect with you or maybe even help you with some special projects you have going on or follow you? Give me that kind of stuff.
So all of my socials, because I'm a little bit older, I have somebody that helps me do that. I have a team of guys that, and they're great people and we have a lot of fun with it. All my socials are at Ken Rusk Official.
Okay, great.
My website is kenrusk.com. And there you can buy the book and you can get the course. And when I say course, it's literally 8 45-minute sessions. You could do it in a weekend or 8 weeks or 8 days or whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make sure that if you read the book or even if you don't read the book, if you just reference the book, it changes your life today, not 6 months from now, not someday, but today. I've seen courses for $800, $1,200, $3,000. No. I priced this at $129. That gives you a free $25 book. And if you do it, I tend to donate most of the money to charity anyway. So you can find that at kenrusk.com. And I hope people take advantage of it because I've been doing this stuff for 30 years with people in all walks of life. And it really works well.
That's really, really awesome. I love that you did that. And I love that you offered that. And what's the name of the program?
It's called The Path to a Successful Life, and you can find it. It's on the course button at kenrusk.com.
Okay. Ken, thank you so much for hanging out with me and for sharing so much knowledge. And these are the conversations I love to have, because I know that my audience is going with a bunch of takeaways. And that is always so like inspiring and powerful, you know, powerful to me, because that is the premise of the show, is to grow, challenge, and transform people's thinking. And I know you did that today. So thank you for being here and hanging out with me. I'm really grateful. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. And I know this went by really fast, so I'm happy to come back anytime. And I mean that when I say it. So if you want to do this again in a few months or whatever, just let me know. I'd be happy to do it.
Heck yeah. Listen, I mean it when I say it too, because not everybody gets re-invited. So you're welcome back, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys, thank you so much. He left so much gold on this episode. I'm going to make sure to link all of his information below, because you guys got to go pick up that book. You got to hang out with him. You got to go get that course. Do it. Okay. Like he said, not in, you know, a year or two from now, you can start changing your life today. And even with just some of the things that he left just in this episode, I know you can do that today. So go ahead and start getting that creative juice going in your brain. You don't have to be stuck anymore. Get yourself moving forward, because the world needs you and it needs to hear what you got to say. Thank you guys for hanging out. Like, share, subscribe, share for whoever you think will even benefit from all of this, which is probably all of us. I love you guys, and I'll see you on the other side. Until next time.